Good morning, Chelvest and Caldergarten, Chelston Rise. It's Wednesday, the 3rd of June, and this is Adrian Dale with the Daily Podcast. Now, I was very critical again yesterday of the government's approach, which I know isn't to everyone's taste, but as I've said before, my reason for sharing these thoughts with you is definitely not political. I just want the people of this parish to be aware that for all their protestations, many of the government's decisions are not being science-led. Or if they are, then they're based on a very poor understanding of the science and the evidence. We need to base our decisions on the respect for our own safety and those around us. The lockdown was first eased on the 10th of May after a tweak to the government's original strategy that gave sufficient wiggle room to allow us to travel long distances. In my view, it was a crazy decision, which has led directly to the madness on the beaches last weekend. This epidemic was originally caused by people travelling long distances and spreading the virus around, so it would have been much more sensible to restrict people to a 50-mile radius in a large-scale social bubble approach. There is simply no justification for people travelling hundreds of miles for a day out on the beach. The second lockdown release, supposedly on Monday of this week, was a decision taken on even shakier ground. This was only supposed to happen when we reached alert level 3. However, the papers yesterday revealed that there had been a fundamental disagreement between Chris Whitty and the Prime Minister. The PM wanted to drop the virus threat level to 3, but Chris Whitty refused. The data would simply not support this. They eventually agreed a fudge where the PM said, "Now that we're moving towards level 3, we can relax the lockdown even further." Well, we're going to face similar fudges with the quarantine rules, believe me. They're supposed to come into force next Monday, but we've already seen exemptions granted for elite sports people and teams. And now the travel industry is lobbying hard to lift the quarantine regulations before they even get going. Actually, I've got some sympathy, but only because the current UK quarantine rules are unworkable, and they're actually at odds with that from many other countries. Austria, for example, is happy to waive quarantine, but only if you can produce a COVID-19 test certificate less than 4 days old. You can even pay for a test at the airport and sit there waiting for the result. And if it's negative, you can come in. Iceland is taking the same approach. Greece has said that all arrivals will be tested at the airport, but there, even negative results will still require you to quarantine for 7 days. Spain, however, will be lifting all their quarantine regulations to welcome travellers. But noticeably, they've said that travellers from the UK are not welcome, given the current state of our epidemic. And that is telling indeed. Spain yesterday had the first day without deaths. Did you notice the common link here? No country wants to import cases of the virus, and that makes absolute sense. However, some of the enlightened countries have recognised that testing is the key. So we're back to the idea of the COVID-19 passport I talked about a couple of weeks ago, except this time it really is a passport. I just don't understand why the government hasn't taken the same stance. They could have said, you can't board an outbound flight without a negative COVID-19 test in the last 72 hours, and you can't return to the UK without a negative test at the airport. Of course, this would have been a huge inconvenience for the traveller, but it's far better than the present alternative. Under the current rules coming into force next Monday, a potential COVID-19 infected traveller will be free to disembark, sometimes on a crowded bus from the aeroplane, collect their luggage, and then use any form of transport to travel to their quarantine destination anywhere in the country. And on the way, they won't even have to wear face covering. And if you remember, the whole epidemic was imported to the UK by a couple of people coming from Wuhan in January, and then by skiers coming back from Italy in the February half term. I just don't want infected people travelling the length of the UK to get to their notified quarantine destination. It doesn't make sense. It's then equally daft that the police should be tied up doing spot checks of these people. I've said it before and I'll say it again, universal and regular testing is the key to unlocking this country. We've just got to get going on it. I was talking to a neighbour yesterday. His mother lives in a care complex and all the staff and all the residents have now been tested for COVID-19. Her test has come back negative. Can you imagine her relief and that of her son? His understanding is that the care home staff are being tested more regularly. This is, of course, months overdue, but it now allows the management to put a ring of steel around that complex. My goddaughter works at Brockfield House in Stanwick, a care home for people living with dementia. If you remember, they suffered 4 deaths when a resident was sent back from Kettering General with COVID-19 in April. They had previously been completely clear. They too now have a ring of steel around the home. Nobody and nothing can go into the home unless they're quarantined or washed at a very high temperature. Now, for the avoidance of doubt, it's not the people they wash at a very high temperature, it's the things. Wendy has knitted some of her amazing twiddle mitts for the home, and they're currently sealed in a bag for a week before I can take them up there. Both of these care settings are now taking full responsibility for their residents, irrespective of government guidelines, and I applaud them. In the church and the village hall settings, we'll be doing the same. We'll exceed all the safety recommendations, but we'll still advise people to assess their own risks and to stay away if they're vulnerable. I talked on Monday about the fractious day we'd had back in late April on the WhatsApp group. I said it was all part of the storming phase for the group. So you can imagine my surprise yesterday when I saw a huge row brewing. Amazingly, it was all about Elliot's fantastic costume, or to be more accurate, about a slightly risque description of it. Now, Elliot's been entertaining us all over the last few weeks, and if you've missed this latest costume, I'll put a picture in the newsletter. The danger of social media is that the written word can only convey a small fraction of the intent of any message. And that's why emoticons are now being used so much, to see if they can give that other, more nuanced approach. But frankly, all this social media stuff is far too much for a simple chap like me. I normally just say what I think too. So when this emergency is over, I'll be delighted to crawl back into the Batcave and tinker with the lawnmowers. But to be fair, they do have their moments too. Twice in the last 2 days, in fact, an exploding bearing and a shredded timing belt. Both caused the blades to clash, making a huge racket. Clearly I've offended them too, so it must be something I've said without realising it. Well, there's no peace for the wicked, so I'd better get back to the repairs and try to rebuild my relationship with 2 demanding lawnmowers. Speak to you tomorrow.